He is Robin Leach. He is Jada Markin. This is Car Keys.
And I'd like to start it out by welcoming Jay here. But more to the point, this show, for those who may hear this at another time, is just before I and maybe Jay and I, we'll hear from him in a minute, are going to go to the New York Auto Show for the first time in, I think, 2 or 3 years. Anyways, this show may be heard by you listeners later on. But it's going to be interesting because one of the partners that goes to the show with me first suggested that he was not interested in going because he was sort of fed up with seeing all these electric cars coming on stream and probably being the majority of cars that we may see at the auto show when we get there. I don't know whether that's going to be true about what the cars that will be there are going to really be, but his comment about the electric car situation echoes mine to a certain degree. He's not ready to consider buying an electric car, and neither am I. And both of us are range interested in the practicality of electric cars going forward in the type of driving that we do and how many people are going to be affected by that and think about their cars in the near future being electric or not. Jay will have an answer to all this when I finish talking, so you can stand by and listen, you listeners. My friend's comment was, he's got a hybrid that goes 700 miles on a tank of fuel. I, too, have a hybrid that goes 600 miles on a tank of fuel. Both of us drive long distances as often as we can. And while battery technology is indeed improving relatively quickly, I think, with respect to the charging capability and reducing time needed to get up to an 80% charge, it is still out there. So if you were to try to do a 500, 600, 700 mile trip in a day, and Jay has done several of these recently, how much added time would it take to go those 800 miles if you had the current crop of electric vehicles that are still limited to around or below 300 miles at a reasonable charge rate to get where you're going? I'll leave it at that. Jay will want to comment.
I can answer some of that. First of all, I think, let me start by the end of the tail end of what you just said. The travel on long distance is just a fraction of the driving we do, year in and year out. And a lot of people / families have more than one vehicle, and I keep saying the same thing. If you have two cars in your home fleet, one of them should be or could be an electric car. Having said that, even if you do travel cross-country with an electric car, you're looking at, 25 minutes. Take a Tesla, to name them again, to get an 80% charge, or to go from 10 to 80% charge in a Tesla Model S, for instance, it will take about 25 minutes. And I keep saying over and over again, if you are driving 300 miles and you stop, you're not stopping for 5 minutes. And I like you just said, I've done a few trips recently, and I did it on purpose to time myself when I do a quote-unquote pit stop between, refueling, buying food, snacking, using restrooms. It's a 20-minute stop. So 25 minutes or even 30 minutes is not adding a whole heck of a lot of time to your travels. And I think it's just, you're constantly finding objections where there aren't really any, or less and less so. Yes, it does take time to stop and recharge. And yes, the infrastructure is still a work in progress, and the next 5 to 10 years are going to be critical if we want EVs to stick around. And by the way, yes, they will stick around. I mean, a lot of California has made it a law that all cars have to be electric by 2035. Other states will follow. That's just where we're going. So get used to it.
Oh, I can't agree with you more on most of that, Jay. My comment to the public who does a lot of driving, and Jay is correct, a minority of drivers are in my type of driving desirability, except for people who travel, maybe like traveling salespeople or something like that, who travel around the country and have to go great distances on a daily basis. But the next problem, which is going to be a problem, at least for the short term, will be the numbers of charging stations available for those people who want to go electric like Jay does, and they become numerically high on the road, and there aren't enough charging portals at the time a number of people come into one area of charging capability, and there aren't enough charging stations for you to spend your 25 minutes getting this charge that Jay says will make it easy for people to love electric cars. I said this on another show when Jay wasn't around. Right now you go by these places on the interstates and you see up to 15 gas or more gas station pumps available. It's not going to get that way, I don't think, in the charging station situation quickly enough to maybe take on these people that are going to predominantly have electric cars, and will maybe they will have two cars to go, but they may have a gas-guzzling SUV to take their family skiing, and then their electric car, and they're not going to take the SUV gas-guzzling vehicle on a long trip because of the amount of gas they use, and the cost factor comes into play. So our listeners can listen to this and make their own decisions, and we'll go on and watch the electric car world come to us.
Let me ask you this. What are you looking for at the New York Auto Show? What do you hope to see, and what are you looking
well,
for?
Well, I want to, you know, I don't know. I want to see what, I want to see some of the new sporty Asian cars, the Hondas and Toyotas and the driving cars that are going to be there, I hope. We will see the electric cars, but you and I know it's going to be Rivian. Maybe Rivian will be there, maybe they won't. I hope I'll see more than just Tesla. I don't think Tesla's going to be at the show.
No, Tesla
they don't need to be. And but there are going to be a number of lower-priced electric vehicles coming on stream, and I hope will be there. I don't know that Lucid will have one of their sedans there or not. Lucid is another company that's got some problems with their sedan production going on, as we were talking about before the show came on with Rivian. But I think I know most of the bigger cars that we've been reading about lately that have made the auto magazine publications in terms of tests and all that. I want to see what Jeep is coming on with electric cars or hybrids. I don't know what I'm looking for. I like to go because you can see all the cars in one area instead of driving around going to individual car dealerships lots and looking for them. You were going to go, Jay. Are you going to go?
I'm going to go probably later in the week. Just because
well, this is the last week, so you have to get there because it started last week.
I am painfully aware of that. I will be looking for, and as I contemplate what to drive next, and this is not something I need to decide anytime in the foreseeable future. We look at stick shift cars, and they're slowly starting to be a thing of the past.
But Toyota's going to bring a stick shift out to this new Supra. It's just been announced.
Well,
they're going to have
and here's
a 6-speed manual.
I'm not so interested in the Supra. That is a joint venture with BMW. I don't really like the car personally. That's just a personal opinion. But what I am interested in is Toyota and Subaru's joint venture for the second round of Subaru BRZ / Toyota. What is it called? GR86, which is the little sports car that Toyota and Subaru produce together, and Subaru supplies the powertrain, so it's a boxer four cylinder engine, and I believe Toyota does the chassis development. rear-wheel drive, stick shift, $30,000 small car with four seats.
Nimble car. I agree. I hope they're both at the show.
And you know, I'd like to think that there's still a place for those cars. And most of the time we tool around town and you know, with one or two people on board, if that, and a couple grocery bags. You don't need an SUV to do that.
That's true. Speaking of that, and the SUV not needed or needed, when you go to a sports mountain in the wintertime, ski mountains as you and I do, you've seen almost nothing but these huge SUVs, sports vehicles. You've got the big Range Rovers. You've got the big versions of the Tahoe or the General Motors Suburbans, and they're all over the place because they have to carry families, and they all tout being able to carry seven passengers. The problem with the seven-passenger ones, if you've got a seven-passenger vehicle full of seven passengers, is where does seven passengers' worth of luggage go in these vehicles? They have to be the long wheelbase versions almost across the board in order to do that. I just have been recently out of this country, but in Canada, and at three different ski areas. And let me tell you, the parking lots are full of the largest vehicles that families can get their hands on to carry the families that are skiing these days. And you notice this when you come to the parking area and you watch everybody unloading. And what are they unloading out of? They're unloading out of the General Motors
long wheelbase
versions.
Let me barge in on that with GM's new Suburbans, Tahoes, Yukons, Denalis, and Escalades, all based on the same platform.
Yeah.
And I think it's a great vehicle. And let's go with the Chevy Suburban. I owned one 20 years ago. It had no brakes, and evidently it seems to still be a problem 20 years later. That they are hard to slow down, and I'm already going on a tangent. I priced out a Tahoe and a Suburban on the GM website, and they have, interestingly, they have a $3,500 option to have sports brakes, Brembo sports brakes.
They need it.
And they need them. And you're like, okay, why does it have to be an option to have brakes that will slow the car down? But that's neither here or there. I think the new Suburban and the Tahoe and both vehicles and their derivatives have all-wheel independent suspension. I think they're great vehicles. They're more and more comfortable with each generation that comes around. And here I go again with diesels, but they have a very interesting engine under $1,000, a $995 option to get an inline straight-six diesel Duramax engine. And that vehicle, those vehicles, Tahoes and Suburban, get close to 30 miles to the gallon on the highway with that diesel engine.
Well, they may or may not do that when they're fully loaded, but yes, you're right. The diesel engines are that they're putting in them are very good alternatives to gasoline. Versions of the same vehicle in terms of mileage capability. Again, we can play this game with the current costs of gasoline and diesel being closer than sometimes they are. However, back going to the gasoline and diesel situation, being in Canada, which is where I was for a week or so skiing, gasoline in Canada is at around when I was there $1.559 per liter, not gallon, liter, Canadian dollars, okay? So those of us in the U.S. who listen to this kind of situation about what the costs of our gas have been for the last several weeks may stay more up there than down. I don't know what's going to happen long term. Are not so far off from paying as much as it costs to buy a gallon of Canadian fuel. I would say it's roughly with the exchange rate of the U.S. dollar trying to convert it, it's probably costing within $1.50 of what 4 liters of gasoline cost in CAD at the moment. Now, this is before any states to go back and give you us temporary reductions in gasoline prices, which are slated to ultimately expire unless they're continued.
So, Robin, are you basically saying that it's about the cost of a gallon of gas in California?
In Canada, yes.
Okay.
$6 range, probably equivalent.
Yeah, I mean,
maybe a little more.
Okay, because you've got regular up at seven plus in California.
California may even be more expensive than Canada gas.
So anyway, I just want to throw that out because again, different places, different.
Europe. Jay will be giving us the price of gas fuel in Europe too. But gas, we're going to have to pay higher gas. I'm going on a tangent. I don't want to go.
Right. So we will go. We will go off that.
Listeners don't need to hear this, but still. The predominance of big SUVs in Canada was very telling.
Well,
and
also
pickup trucks,
and
they don't get any better mileage up in the Canadian versions as they do in the U.S. version.
No, but I have a question about electric, as far as SUVs and big monsters or 4x4s, etc. Right,
ahead. Right.
As of right now, as of this reading, what I am seeing in my in my craziest is that for a while. It's still going to be more effective, efficient, and cost. I guess what I want to say is cost effective to operate a Suburban, for example, with regular petrol.
Well, you can buy a Suburban now. I mean, but a loaded Suburban is also $80,000. So we're talking prices same as Rivian's electric cars SUV coming out.
And the new Jeep Stellantis versions of the Grand Wagoneer are $100,000.
But will they go up your up the side of the mountain
that's another question I want Jay to talk about.
That's what I'm asking.
We're all talking about range all the time. And nobody's telling us that the ranges are given to us in the most harsh conditions that these vehicles that need it the most are going to be used at.
And don't forget, at the beginning, before we even go there, let's all not forget that at the beginning of the last century, Model T time, all those cars were electric. They were all plugged in. Couldn't walk into a showroom without tripping over cords.
Yes, but we didn't have cars as big as they are today, and we didn't.
I understand.
Doing it.
And
well,
still, we went to fuel.
No.
Okay, so I think we have to rethink our needs for transportation, and I think we're doing that. And your big SUV to go to the ski mountain twice a year on the weekends where everybody's going skiing, which again makes no sense. But you can rent vehicles for that, or you have car sharing companies that will supply your vehicle. When you need an SUV for that particular weekend. And the rest of the year, you can drive a little sports car or a little electric car.
Let's stop this argument about little cars that are available as an alternative to that need. The biggest problem is when you get a family of seven with 400 pounds of luggage and you're leaving New York City to go to Vermont, can you get there in electric? Are you going to be able to get there in a large SUV that's been converted to electricity or not and back? And if you get there, are you going to have charging capability in the parking lot to get it recharged by the time you finish your nice day of skiing and you want to go home again? The answer is no.
I think
okay?
If you solve
the issues
in life of the family of seven, you will find a way to go to it.
Well, the very wealthy will be able to do it very easily.
All right.
I don't know about the other people.
Just because there's 20 seconds left for this particular round, and because we want to do some safety, Jay, you've got.
Yeah, safety. A couple things crossed my. I was reading about road rage. I was reading about pedestrian deaths in the city that have gone through the roof. So, in New York City, for example, and a lot of our listeners spend some time in the city, both as drivers and also as pedestrians. There are about a dozen deaths a month. A dozen pedestrians are getting killed by other vehicles in the city in 2021, 2022.
New York City,
and
you're talking about specifically.
It's not just cars. E-bikes are becoming more and more of a problem. An e-bike is, at 30 miles an hour, the bike and the passenger and the rider are several hundred pounds. And if you cross the street and get hit by one of those, yes, you can die, and people have gotten killed that way. My take on that, and I see a lot of reading, I see a lot of things being done, trying to slow cars down, trying to change the way the driver's behaviors, which is undoubtedly a problem. But my take on this is always that there's very little incentive or very little discussion about what pedestrians can do not to get hit. And I'll say it again and again and again. People look at me a little sideways. You know, as a pedestrian, you are sharing the road too, and you're not. You have a share of responsibility. If you're going to cross a street, even if it is your right of way, you know, peel your eyes, look around you before you cross. I can tell you something. I am not getting run over by a car in New York City. It's not going
to
happen.
No, you have to be a little more attentive, and it's really interesting because we have watched as people. I mean, it used to be a horrible thing with mothers using their strollers to push out in front of trucks.
Exactly. Yeah.
But that's gone on for years. If anything, it's gotten worse because people have gone further and further into their screens. You know, so they're just looking down. And
yep.
I think, bluntly, if I may weigh in, yeah, it's on everybody to be a little more environmentally aware.
Yeah, thank
but
you.
Let's transpose. Jay's talking about people walking in the streets. The drivers, we keep saying, drivers, you've got to focus on driving and not on your cell phone or on your makeup or whatever you're doing, whether you're in the city or on the highway. We're not going to convert it in this show. We're not going to convert the walking world or the driving world to suddenly becoming totally focused on what they're doing so that nobody will get killed. But, you know, it's been this way for a long time. Jay's statistics are interesting. But the e-bike situation is something or biking has been the same thing. I don't know why e-biking is more, except I guess they go faster, maybe. Dangerous. Jay?
As we all share the road, like Jill said, you know, we all have our share of responsibility. That's all.
And, you know, whoever sort of dripped into the thinking that, yeah, it's totally fine because the car can drive itself and so you can watch your movie, was incorrect.
Well, there was an interesting segment on 60 Minutes recently about electric cars, and the host of the show was in an electric car, and she was telling manufacturer's representative to slow it down and to put his hands on the wheel or whatever, because she was scared to death of what was going on when the person was, this is self-driving car capability, was driving at a fast rate of speed with his host in the passenger seat, scared to death of what she thought could happen if something went awry. So we've got a lot to talk about in the future as the technology continues to theoretically improve.
Well, even as the technology continues to improve, it's still, if you're human and you're driving a car, you need to look at the road.
You sure do.
Okay, he is Robin Leach. He is Jay DeMarc, and this is Car Keys.